Please turn with me in your Bibles, your own Bibles which you've brought, or the Bibles that are before you in the pew, to Luke 2, and you'll find that on page 1018 in the pew Bibles. 1018, we'll read Luke 2, verses 1 through 21. And hear about God's great peace proclamation. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And a special focus on our text, verse 14, the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." God's peace proclamation. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, about 2,020 years ago, a great king made the greatest peace proclamation ever heard anywhere on earth. Now, it was common in those times and still is today, when a war is over, that a king sends out messengers to all the people in his kingdom saying, "The war is over, there is peace." But on this day, about 2,020 years ago, there was a far greater king who made a far greater peace declaration. And the great king who made this peace declaration, this peace proclamation, was God himself. And how did he make it? Who were his messengers? He sent out thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, the heavenly armies. And he made this peace proclamation at an unusual time, in the night, to an unusual group of people, a group of shepherds who were watching their flocks in a field outside the little town of Bethlehem. And then these shepherds ran to go and see what had been told them, and they told everybody they met the good news they had heard. And the peace proclamation went like this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And that greatest peace proclamation, brothers and sisters, made by God, still holds true today. It wasn't a one-day thing where we, in a time of nostalgia now on Christmas Day, go back and remember the past, and then we leave it there and continue. No, this is a peace proclamation that still holds true. It started an international peace movement that's still growing today. And everyone who believes this message, and in this God who brought this message, you join this greatest peace movement ever. It's open to everyone, everywhere, every day, for everyone who hears and believes. It's good news for you. Will you believe it? Will you join this peace movement that God has started? As opposed to the peace movements that are found all over on earth, which can't do the job? Will you join this peace movement, the celebration of God's peace that Christians celebrate on Christmas Day and every day? I want to look at two things here. First, what's behind this peace proclamation? And then secondly, what is it? What's behind it? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. Why? Why glory to God, and why peace on earth? Where's that coming from? What's he talking about? He's not talking about an idea, a peace idea, or a peace negotiation, or a peace process. He's talking about a little baby. That's the peace proclamation. It's a birth announcement. This baby is so important that God has used no less than the greatest, most powerful person in the world at that time, Caesar Augustus, to make room for him, to pave the way for his coming. Wow. That mighty Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, who was worshipped as a god in a worldwide emperor cult, is paving the way for somebody far greater than he. And his sidekick, Quirinius, governor of Syria, is also part of this, paving the way for the arrival of this peace, who's a person. Caesar, Quirinius, they must serve the coming of God's peace, even though they don't know it. No, Caesar Augustus isn't saying, how can I introduce the Lord Jesus to the world? No. He's saying, how can I line my own pockets and have more control over all the people of my empire? I'll have them all go to their hometown and register and fill out a census form, and I'll have more control. That's what he's after. What he doesn't know, and Quirinius is sidekick in that for the region of Syria, including Palestine. What he doesn't know is that God is using him to have this great king, Prince of Peace, born at just the right time in the right way, as the holy prophets had said for thousands of years. Caesar, you will serve his coming. Even though he doesn't know it, even though he hates God, he hates anybody but himself. And all must bow down to him in his mind, but here he is making way for a greater king. That's how great this peace is. That's the story behind the proclamation, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. So, a baby's been born. What about him? Show me the palace. Show me the glory. Show me the golden crib. Get me through the heavy security that surrounds him and protects him, please. Where is he? Give me a sign that he's really here. Okay, I have a sign for you. The object of this peace proclamation is what you would totally not expect. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, strips of linen for wrapping a baby. It's the way poor people wrap their babies. Lying not in a golden crib in a palace, not even in a house, but in a manger, somewhere in a cave or a barn. Born in a barn. Because there was no other place available for this poor mom, Mary, and adoptive dad, Joseph, to stop and have her baby. There they are, Mary and Joseph, poor people, who have made the trek from Nazareth to answer this decree. Nazareth, where's that? It's an obscure village in Galilee. Nobody ever came from there, at least nobody who's anybody. Not what you would expect to be behind this peace proclamation. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And nobody else is there but Mary and Joseph. There's no fanfare, no security, no palace servants, no dignitaries. And the first ones to hear about it and to arrive on the scene? Another group of nobody, shepherds, keeping watch over their flock. By night. They were scoundrels. At least they had that reputation. I'm not saying these guys were. They were lowlifes in reputation. People did not trust a shepherd. They were people that often dealt or were shysterly in their character. So these aren't your cleanest guys with the best reputation. They're the ones. Something's very strange. Who is this? And then what's said about him is even more unusual. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Verses 10 and 11. God has sent a Savior to earth. Born for you and for all the people. That's quite a Savior. And this Savior is the Christ, the Messiah. And he's the Lord, Christ the Lord. And that word means Jehovah, God. The I am who I am. The faithful God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who for thousands of years has been promising to send the Messiah to rescue the world from the curse. That's who this is, in a manger. This is unbelievable. He's come to earth as a baby to bring glory to God and peace on earth. And on the eighth day, he's given the name Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 21. And what else about this baby who's the background of this peace proclamation? He's great joy. He's good news of great joy for all the people, for you and me. And in him, do not be afraid. Fear not. You don't have to be afraid of God anymore and judgment and death. It's really amazing. You don't even have to be afraid of people. You don't have to be afraid of life. And you don't have to be afraid of today, and you don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, and you don't have to be afraid of getting sick. Because he so wraps up your life and so secures you, this Prince of Peace, that you're set free from fear and worry and judgment. Because he is God's Son. And when you come to him and trust in him, God himself is wrapping his arms around you and taking you as his child and holding on to you as his loved son, much loved daughter. Wow, good news of great joy. And that peace proclamation just gets bigger and bigger. God bypasses Caesar the emperor. He bypasses Quirinius the governor. He bypasses Herod the king of the Jews. That we read in Matthew 2. He bypasses the chief priests and all the powers that be in Jerusalem. And he leads us to a very unimpressive baby in a manger. And he says, there he is. There's your peace on earth. There's glory to God. Right there, for everyone who believes in him and receives him as their king. When this world fantasizes about what saviors look like, they come up with superheroes, like we find on the Avengers team. Iron Man with his armor, the Incredible Hulk with his muscle, Thor with his hammer, Captain America, Hawkeye, Black Widow with her stealth. There, that's what we come up with. That's what our saviors look like. Not going to do it. But this one will. Because he's not invented by man. He's given by God. He's the eternal Son of God who has come down from heaven to earth in our flesh. God and man united in one person. So he can take our place in our trouble, but also carry the trouble in his divine power. He's everything. He's got it all. When you trust in him, he makes for your peace with God and gathers you into his peace movement, his little unimpressive church, which is gathering in little congregations all over the world. That's his peace movement. And when you believe in Jesus, you have peace with God, but you're also part of his peace movement, his family. It's an amazing thing. So that's the background. Let's take a moment now to look, what is this peace proclamation? First, he brings glory to God. Second, he brings peace on earth. This Jesus, this baby, who's going to grow up full of the Spirit of the Lord, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord. First, he brings glory to God. Now, that's different. That's different. Because ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, the whole human race has been opposed to the glory of God. I'm not here to glorify you. I'm here to serve myself and go my own way. And God's got to get out of the way. I'll deny him if I have to. I'll certainly ignore him. And people have to get out of the way. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, we've been seeking our own glory. And that's exactly why our culture is unraveling. We thought, get rid of God and we'll have true freedom and peace and joy. You know, it's the opposite, right? We rejected God and we're spiraling downward into so many spiritual and social and economic and political and psychological problems. Life is just unraveling. Culture is unraveling. Society is unraveling. Because we looked for glory in our own power and wealth and entertainment, and we thought we could make our own peace on earth through Western high-tech ingenuity. It's not working. And the rate of everything is going up except for peace, happiness, and joy. They're going down, and hope. Boy, do we need somebody on earth that gets us back to the glory of God. Here he is, Jesus. Finally, because nobody was willing or was able to live to the glory of God, God came down himself in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brings glory to God. Jesus Christ is the only one in the human race who sets things straight again. He came to bring glory to God in the highest. He came to delight in the will of God, to obey the will of God, to give his life to the will of God, to do only what pleases God. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. That was his desire, that was his love, that was his heart and mind were there. That's the one we need for our self-centered, God-opposing, God-neglecting, God-ignoring, God-hating, getting rid of God lives. Because you can't get rid of God. He's there. You can only curse him and die. God sent his Son to open up a door for the world to bring glory to God again through faith in him. He changes everything. And the greatest way in which Jesus brings glory to God, this is the most amazing thing, is that was the will of the Father that he give his life as a sacrifice for sin. The Father gave him the name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins, and that was his calling. And he delighted in that calling. He gave glory to God in that calling, and he refused to budge from that calling no matter what even his closest disciples would say to him. John the Baptizer said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's exactly what he did. He took our sin on his shoulders. And not only our sin, but all its consequences. God the Father loaded down his Son Jesus with all the consequences of our sin. Suffering and sorrow, our hurt and pain, all the impact of our violence and brutality and wickedness, all our sicknesses and diseases and viruses, our damnation and hell and death and burial. He made it all his own. He absorbed it in his own body and soul to carry sin and the curse on sin until it destroyed him. And in destroying it, he set us free from it. That's how he brings glory to God. And because he was faithful in all his calling, God the Father raised him from the grave on the third day. And now he reigns in power to the glory of God, at God's right hand. And everyone who believes in Jesus, something radical happens in your life. That Jesus' perfection covers all your sin and imperfection. So you become glorious in the sight of God. And Jesus' spirit of wanting to glorify God enters your life. And now suddenly you want to glorify God with your life. What about you? Is that where you want your life to go? Are you pretty stuck on rejecting God's glory and living for your own? And you'd rather curse God and die so you can have some fun for a while and some power and some extra wealth. That's the fool's choice. Or do you say, Lord, forgive me for opposing your glory and kicking against you, going my own way. Give me Jesus, who is glory to God in the highest, so that that glory to God in the highest might take over my life too. I want my life to go in that direction. My life is going in that direction. There's still so many weaknesses in me where I keep turning in on myself. Lord, give me more of that glory to God in the highest that you have, Jesus, and weave that more and more into my life. We call upon him. He's always got more of that for us. Don't we need that today, all of us? And the second thing, Jesus is glory to God in the highest. The second thing is he's peace on earth, among those with whom God is pleased. God is not pleased with everyone, but he's pleased with Jesus, his son. He said of Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He's pleased with his son. Guess what? If you believe in Jesus, you're connected to him. Your life becomes hidden in him. And God is then pleased with you. Peace on earth. To those who belong to Jesus by faith, because then God is pleased with you. And then you're no longer under God's wrath, but you're under God's love. And you're no longer under God's punishment, but you're under God's peace, because Jesus is the key. He's the way to that. Peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased. If you want God to be pleased with you, don't look at your own performance. I'm not doing too bad. I think God's okay with me. Your own performance, unless you're operating at 100% perfection, flawless, sinless, on the outside and the inside, your own performance will damn you, because God cannot tolerate one speck of sin. He's holy. But if you trust in Jesus, whose performance is 100% inside and outside, then in Jesus, God's pleased with you. And you can count on that all the time, even on the worst day as a believer. Because Jesus' perfection never changes. God's always pleased with his son. And with those who belong to his son through faith. And when that peace enters your life, everything begins to change. Just like rejecting God causes life to unravel and fall apart in every dimension eventually over time, so also being joined to Jesus and living for the glory of God causes life to come back together again, the pieces to fall back into place. And the peace of God to reign more and more in our lives. It's an amazing thing. We can become part of the peace movement when we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The first thing he does is he joins us together in his family of peace, which isn't always so peaceful. But then he says, no. Don't run away from each other. Work through your disagreements. And for the sake of Jesus, show the Prince of Peace in your life. Be a peacemaker. That's part of Christmas joy and Christmas faith. It's a beautiful thing. And then we fail in that, but we can always go back to the Prince of Peace for grace to cover our sins and the Holy Spirit to be more peaceful as a people. And then you have those relationships maybe which you can't fix. We may have those in our lives too, right? Even then, the Prince of Peace transforms us because he makes us peacemakers in the midst of hostile relationships so we can even love our enemies. And we can pursue peace with everyone. Even if we can never arrive there because of what's happening on the other side, doesn't matter. God has made us peacemakers through Christ, his Son. Brothers and sisters, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is glory to God in the highest, and he's peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased. The shepherds received this proclamation of peace. What'd they do? They were so thrilled with the good news that everybody they met, they shared that good news with. And they went home, remember, glorifying God. Their lives were turned right side up. Glorifying God and sharing the peace that they had discovered through Jesus Christ with everyone they met. Well, let us carry on with that tradition the shepherds began of proclaiming this peace of God with everyone we know, starting in our own families. Some of our families don't have peace, right? Close to home. Then our neighbors across the whole world, because this is for all the people. Everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We are given a life that again brings glory to God, like it was in the beginning before we fell in Adam and Eve. Lord, thank you that in your Son you make things right again. And one day you will bring us into that perfect paradise of peaceful relationships with God and within ourselves, with one another, and with all creation. What a day that will be. We look forward to that day. But give us that peace with God now through Christ, so we may also enjoy that hope of perfect peace and rest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.